Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church, located on the beautiful flower-lined streets of South St. Louis.
It just gets better.
That's right.
And you didn't mention the fact that Ted Drew's is now flourishing. They're open all the time, aren't they?
And that is right.
Anytime you want to go get
ice. Anytime you want to go. Stop by, pick me up. We'll go together. Ted Drew's, by the way... St. Patrick's Day, they had green frozen custard.
Oh, is that right?
That is right.
That crazy Ted Drew's. They're just, we have Casey's. They got soft serve. That's as good as it gets in New Orleans. I'm sorry.
Pastor John with his head under the soft serve machine at Casey's.
That's right. No green soft serve.
Where's Pastor Church is supposed to start? Oh, he's out of the Casey's again.
Either that or eating the donuts. Now, that's the one thing we do have good. Casey's has excellent donuts.
Do they? Yeah.
Well, they bake them. They bake them there, which I didn't realize. I thought they were being shipped in.
Yeah.
But they
Casey's. Fresh.
Well, of course, you know, they're getting the dough and all that
stuff
in, but they actually
they're nice and warm.
That's why they're nice and fresh. Okay.
Oh, good.
All right, this has been pent up. This has been pent up for the last 40 days.
We have to say what the show is.
Oh, I know. Thank God for you. What would we do? I'm ready. You ready?
Okay, I am ready. This is Wrestling with the Basics.
You know what? Not only that, I don't think I... Did you say who you are?
I said who I am in my flower-lined streets.
That's right.
But I don't think we know who... We do know you have a Casey's.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it.
In New Athens. In New Athens, Illinois.
New Athens, yes.
St. Paul Lutheran Church. Trinity Church in Darmstadt, which, by the way, doesn't have a Casey's or anything. 500 people in that town. We got nothing. I'm sorry. Except for the church. We got the church.
Well, that's all you need.
And a nice United Church of Christ there, too. Holy Ghost is there as well. We'll put in a plug.
Is there a taxidermy shop? I thought there was a taxidermy shop.
Is there a taxidermy in Darmstadt? Well, you know more than I know.
Maybe not. Well, there used to be. I don't know.
Okay. Now, I don't think there's anything in Darmstadt anymore. They used to have Sin's Inn, which was kind of an appropriate name for a bar, is it?
Sin's Inn. What's going on over there in Darmstadt?
Yeah, but they're
good thing they have two churches.
They're closed, though. Sin's Inn has gone out of business. So anyway, this has been pent up for so long, I just have to get them out now. So just stop me when you have to stop me, Beth, but I've been waiting. Oh, I've been waiting for the whole season of Lent. Oh. Two antennas met on a roof, fell in love, and got married. The ceremony wasn't much, but the reception was excellent. A jumper cable walks into a bar. The bartender says, "I'll serve you, but don't start anything."
Holy cow.
A dyslexic man walks into a bra. Actually, that's not technically dyslexic. I have to go look into that because it...
That's really
bar
not a joke.
Is not. No, because it's just backwards, right? Dyslexic, you just take whatever the word is and go backwards. So the backwards of bar would be
Rob. I think you're putting a little too much thought into that one-liner.
That's a good time to stop then.
Yeah.
Two cannibals are eating a clown. One says the other. Does that taste funny to you?
I do like that
you
one.
Like
that's
that
one of my favorites.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, here's one for all the Tom Jones fans. Do you know Tom Jones?
Oh, sure.
All right. Doc, I can't stop singing the green, green grass of home. That sounds like Tom Jones syndrome. Is it common? Well, it's not unusual. Yeah, maybe I should have stopped with the other one.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say.
An invisible man marries an invisible woman. The kids were nothing to look at either. Oh, here's one more. Here's one more. Deja vu. You know, you've heard of deja vu?
Vu, yeah, yeah.
What is deja vu?
Just deja vu is if you have a funny feeling this happened before.
All right. So you know what deja vu is then?
I have no idea what deja vu.
The feeling that you've heard this bull before.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, man. Get that out of my system.
Thanks. I hope it is out of your system. We all do. Who gave you those jokes, by the way?
I don't know.
Who do I need to talk to?
They were sitting in my Bible for I don't know how many months, and I just happened to, I dropped my Bible and everything fell out. You know, you got all your papers and
so
stuff,
this was in your Bible.
This fell out. And I figured that was a sign from God.
We need to talk to your wife. What's Lynn's number? We need to call her. Lynn,
that's right.
Do something about this guy.
Cleaning out.
If you see these papers in his Bible,
get rid of them.
Matt.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we're doing...
I was about 2 minutes too late on that one.
Yes, I think you were. Prodigal son.
Yes.
We did really a beautiful thing about the father.
Uh-huh.
And your emphasis on the fact that the boy didn't act like a son. The boy didn't think he could be a son, and yet the father would know nothing other than he was his son. Rings on the finger, kills a fattened calf. Jesus Christ, that's what the early church fathers thought. That's what the fattened calf had to be sacrificed so that the prodigal could actually be a son again.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
But we didn't get to the older brother.
No.
So should we do that?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah, so we left off in Luke chapter 15, and we left off with verse 24, where the father says, "This is my son, who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. So the celebration that I'm assuming they invited the community to, they celebrate, they party, and everyone seems pretty happy except for one guy.
One guy. And again, I want to point out, I really appreciate that emphasis that you've had the last two times we talked about this, because I don't think people realize this. This was a public problem, because this son had done things that would have been known by the public. And of course, it had to surprise the public that the father would just welcome him with open arms. They would have thought, surely the father must require a little bit of repentance on his part or some kind of symbol of his sorrow. Mm-hmm. But the father just reaches out, runs out to him at a distance even, and throws a big party.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think we really have a picture of the church here. I mean, there's people like this, right? And certainly we see ourselves in the younger son, okay?
Let's hope we do.
Yeah. But at the same time, there are those really who do perhaps, in terms of church and worship, really exclude themselves altogether. Yeah. And maybe they are gone, and maybe they are absent, and who knows what they're doing while they're gone and away from God's word and being fed by that. But when they do return by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what we do as a church. We celebrate. We celebrate that. We rejoice that then we welcome back with open arms.
And maybe what keeps them from coming back is because they kind of think, well, I like that son. I can't come back. Mm-hmm. Or I've got to do something, you know, or people aren't going to accept me. And unfortunately, maybe we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
people, I haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah,
you know,
tattered clothes and smells like a pig. What's going on here?
Oh, if I had
Where's
a nickel,
he been?
If I had a nickel for every time someone said that about me. And see, that's the thing we got to realize. No, if someone has been gone for a while and they come back, our reaction should simply be one of celebration. We are so glad to see you. And the understanding that's exactly how God feels. He's our father, and fathers are always happy when their sons come home, and even more so if they haven't seen their son for a while, more so are they excited.
No questions asked, even, just welcomes them back.
Which reminds me, I can't remember the name of the hymn, but there's that verse in that hymn,
and
that he won't ask.
No question will be asked us how how long we've been away or how, wherever we have been, it is the Father's pleasure to welcome us home.
That's right.
Not even close to what it says.
But that is the point.
It's the same basic idea.
It's the idea, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those opening hymns that we sometimes sing.
I just love that line.
Today is Mercy Calls Us, I think.
Today is Mercy Calls Us. We better not do that. We already did bad jokes. We know to do bad singing. All right, go ahead. Shall I read? You want to read?
I'll read. Okay. Pick it up with verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called to one of the servants.
Dancing. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry, too. I really am.
It's been a long lift. This has been pinned in up in me for a long time.
Okay. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant, and he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came and who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.
So what do you think, Matt? What do you think? I think, this is part of the problem. This is why when people that have been away for a while show up, it is kind of hard for us to welcome them with open arms because, we've been here, we've been doing the work, we've been getting up and going to church every week, and so there should maybe be a little distinction between us and this guy who finally showed
Johnny
up on
come
Easter.
Lately.
Yeah. Comes at Christmas, comes at Easter. Yeah, not like us.
Bro, that's my pew, not his. I send it every week.
That's the other problem. Everybody's doing that. So I don't know. What do you think about this, Matt? What do you think about this?
Well, I think that we talked about how we should see ourselves in that younger son. Yeah, but we also see ourselves in this older son, as you just pointed out.
Don't go there. Now you're meddling.
You're gone
from preaching to meddling.
But the beautiful thing is that the father remains the same, and the father of both is the same.
That
whether we are that younger son, that older son, our loving heavenly father is the same. The prodigal father, as you pointed out last time, who lavishes his love on both the sons. Because here we see the father come out to the son, this older one.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Out of love for him. Isn't that neat? So he, just as he ran to the younger one, now he comes out to the older one. He has the same love and concern and compassion for this one too.
I just thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Just as he ran out to the younger son. So he comes out to the older son. How easily you could have said, oh, no, you come into me. You come and you kneel before me or show your humility. But in neither case, no, he's just so happy to be with his sons. That's what he wants.
Yeah. And we see the beauty of forgiveness in the father. But here I think we see kind of the ugliness of unforgiveness from the older son. And why is this? Well, what's at the root of this? And I think that part of it is when the older son protests and says, look, these many years I've served you, I've never disobeyed your command. Wait a second. Did you really never disobey your dad's command?
That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying. That might even be what he's thinking, too. And I can't help but think that if he doesn't think he needs forgiveness, at least not as bad as this younger brother of mine who was a ne'er-do-well and ran away from home, well, then if he doesn't need forgiveness, why should he be forgiving? We see that in our own lives, too. If we don't see the depths of our own sin and that we're deserving of hell, deserving to perish, to be destroyed, and we don't see the forgiveness we have in Christ, how we've been forgiven of that sin, then why would we forgive others? If we don't realize the depths of our own sin and the vastness of God's compassion, why would we have compassion on others who sin against us? And so this older son in his self-righteousness doesn't see that grace and mercy that's right before him. And so in turn, he doesn't show it either.
Now, the first two times we did this, I went out of my way to emphasize this. And now this time when we really needed this information, I forgot about it completely. Okay. What I'm referring to is the context of this story. Because as when we talked about it before, we pointed out to you, he is talking to sinners.
Yes.
And of course, that's the younger son, and he received these sinners just the way the father received these sinners. They came to listen to Jesus. He welcomed them. But of course, the other corresponding group that was there were the scribes and the Pharisees, who came, and it's interesting, for the avowed purpose to grumble about the fact how Jesus welcomed sinners.
Exactly. They're like this older son. Exactly. Yeah. Precisely. So you wonder if did they get it? Were they cut to the heart when they heard this? Jesus is talking about them.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I doubt that they were cut to the heart. I think this is kind of the thing that kind of egged them on to, we just really need to address this Jesus issue. The thing that we talked about just a few weeks ago. We need to kill him.
Yeah.
Therein lies the difference, and I think you hit it right on the head. See, they don't see themselves as sinners. Mm-hmm. Now, if they'd seen themselves as sinners, they would say, yeah, we definitely do need for Jesus to die for us. We're glad he did that, and even though we have sinned, even though we're like this brother here, we know the Father's going to accept us. We know he wants to do that. But you're right. Without that knowledge of sin, there is not the corresponding desire then to come to the Father. Yeah. And receive his forgiveness.
I think it goes back to the Lord's Prayer too. Forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And when Jesus teaches the Lord's the prayer, at least here in Matthew, where he talks about it in the Sermon on the Mount, then he ends it by saying, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses." So this.
Wait, don't close that up. Don't close that up. Isn't that the place where we got the parable about the unforgiving? Is that that's in there, isn't it?
Well, in this context, it's in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says it's after the Lord's Prayer.
It.
So he's really sort of re-emphasizing that specific petition of the prayer, unpacking it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And again, having been forgiven, how can we not forgive? But to put it conversely, if we haven't been forgiven, if we don't need forgiveness, why do we need to forgive? And that's where the older son is. And that's where we're at sometimes too, unfortunately.
And see, the scary thing about that then is you've just implied that if we are like the older son, then God will not forgive us. Is that what Jesus is saying? If we haven't forgiven the brother, then we shouldn't expect ourselves to be forgiven?
Well, it's not saying that he's not saying that it's earned because of that. So if we forgive because of our forgiving in and of itself, we're forgiven. No, it's because of Christ. But again, with that in that whole context of having been forgiven, it's not really optional, right? We have to forgive others. That's what we're called to do.
Okay. One of my members, and you remember him from our time together, dear Earl Riso. Earl was alive when you were there, wasn't he? Or had Earl passed away?
I
think Earl was there.
Okay.
Okay. Well, whatever. He Earl, if you knew Earl, great, wonderful Christian, certainly an example of the first son. Yeah. But he always told me that passage just drove him crazy because that passage left him with the impression that if he had not forgiven his brother, and I kind of suspect probably Earl had some people in his life that he had not really fully, completely forgiven. You know how that is. We put up with people. We make a polite smile, but still in our hearts we're kind of thinking, And that passage troubled him. The reason why I asked if that was the reference where we have the parable, because, Jesus tells the parable about the guy who owed $1 million or something.
Yeah, the denarius.
And the king forgives him that. And then, of course, he goes out and he chokes his fellow servant for 100 denarii or a month's worth of wages and stuff. And, of course, he gets thrown into jail. Precisely because of what you said, because he did not forgive. If I forgave you and you didn't forgive your brother, well, then we're just going to throw you into jail. But what I always struck about that parable is it says you're going to stay in that jail until every single penny has been paid, which to me then brings us back to Jesus Christ. And oh, I guess I do need Jesus to die for me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe I do have some debts that do need to be forgiven. And then we begin to realize, yep, that's what Jesus did. He died not only for the younger son who admits his sin, but he also died for the older son who at this point is kind of struggling whether he is a sinner or not.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, on that note, I mean, if then what I think is so... One of the things about this parable that I think is one of the reasons it's perhaps so beloved is because we don't know what the older son does. Like you just said, he's struggling with that. Do I forgive or not? Yeah. Jesus ends the story there. We don't know whether the guy ever forgives. We don't know whether he goes into the feast or not. We don't know whether he holds this resentment and grudge the rest of his life. We don't know. So it's kind of this, it forces us, I think, as the readers and hearers of this parable, to reflect on ourselves.
Yep.
Oh, okay. What do I do now? What's my reaction? If I'm that older son, what do I do? Do I forgive? Do I not? So I really appreciate Jesus kind of leaving this as a cliffhanger here and just ending with the words of the Father.
And what the early church father does with all of this, and we
last week,
what was the fact, if the fattened calf is Jesus, who gave up his life so that the son could be the lost, the lost could be found, and the dead could be alive. It's interesting here that this son makes a big deal about the fact that you sacrificed the fattened calf for this boy. But what the other church fathers thought was interesting, that this older son says, I didn't even ask for a goat. And the early church father said, see, that's the problem. He didn't want the fattened calf. He would just be satisfied if God gave him a goat. And that's just what you said. He does not really realize how much he really needs the Father's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, I'm not perfect. Maybe I didn't obey in all things. A goat will suffice. You know, just some little sacrifice here on earth, that would be sufficient. And it's that which will leave him on the outside until he comes to that understanding that he really needed a fattened calf killed for him too. But I appreciate your point. That's right. We like everything to be just nice and settled and closed. But honestly, in day-to-day life, that's not how it is. There are some things that are still open. But my thought would be, if you think in any way you might be like the older son, I think you probably should go run into your father. That's what I would do.
That's the solution, whether the young one or the older
that's
one.
Right.
It's the same prodigal, loving, lavishing father.
And have no doubt that he would indeed sacrifice the fattened calf for you, too. You may have spent your whole life thinking all I need was a goat, but he not only would, he has. He has sacrificed his only begotten son for your sake, too.
Yeah. And, you know, he sacrifices it here, the father. I mean, I hope I'm not taking this stuff too far, but...
Well, you're running with the church father, so you can blame them.
That's right.
What I like about it.
So,
it's not my fault. That's what they said.
So he sacrifices the fattened calf as the younger son comes back, but he's willing to also, the father's extending the benefits of that sacrificed calf to the older son. He's invited to the feast. He wants him to come in. He wants him to partake of the fatted calf, but the younger son refuses.
Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. That's right. You want a fattened calf,
you've got
I give
that.
It to you.
Yeah.
The celebration is not
it's
just
yours.
For him, it's for you as well. And that's what we have to help people understand, that if they're wrestling with this, if they feel like they identify with this person, that's the point. The Father is willing to take you as well. And isn't it interesting, Matt, that after Jesus dies, and of course the Pharisees and the scribes are the ones who will kill him. They're the ones that will shout, crucify him, crucify him. And it always struck me as interesting, who's the very first people that Jesus sends his disciples to? The Pharisees and the scribes. He sends them directly to them and say, you know what? You did. You killed the one whom God made Lord in Christ. And guess what? Guess what he wants to do for you? He just wants you to repent and be baptized in his name so that your sins may be forgiven. And he wants to give it to you and to your children. Now, isn't that remarkable that even if you killed Jesus, his desire would still be the same? Still wants to forgive you. Wants you to. I like your thought there, too. He wants you to be part of the party, part of the celebration.
Exactly, and that's a consistent theme in this chapter of Luke 2. So in Luke 15, we have this the son that was lost, but we also have the lost sheep. We have the lost coin.
Oh.
And in every one of those parables, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing over the coin that's found, the sheep that's found and recovered. There's rejoicing over the son who returns. And again, God's rejoicing over those, over repentance and forgiveness that he wants to give. So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. And it is just this beautiful picture. That's all God wants to do. And he just wants you to know that. That's what he wants to do. Celebrate over us and all of our weakness and all of our failings. And even as we struggle to forgive our brother, that's all he wants to do, is just give us his love and forgiveness so that we in turn then may share that and love as he did. Any other thoughts, Matt?
No, I think we covered the prodigal son pretty well. Beautiful insights, and boy, we could talk about it for weeks to come. I mean, it's always neat. There's new insights into the Word of God, and we enjoy exploring it with our listeners here on Wrestling with the Basics.
So some new stuff next week, and maybe some more bad jokes. Who knows?
We can always hope.